Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Y'all know I am crunchy mama to the max, but when it comes to seasonal allergies, I don't play. I can't afford to. Y'all, I've had the worst seasonal allergies my entire life. I have missed out on so much of the spring because I've had to stay inside while people are outside having fun. I've gone on these amazing retreats and literally just looked out the window watching people have the most amazing time. Because my allergies can't do it. I am straight up, I just can't do it. My eyes get itchy and red and watery. I can't keep makeup on. My nose drips. My throat gets clogged up. And I'm telling y'all, my face swells, it gets itchy. I really, really need support and help when it comes to seasonal allergies. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better. I am pregnant right now, so I'm not able to take it. So please, you guys, if you have seasonal allergies, for my sake, go get some and experience what it's like to breathe a little bit. I've taken Claritin D for so much of my life. When I'm not pregnant, I do take it. It's so, so helpful. Ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Yeah, I think that you just like have high hopes for Valentine's Day and holidays to have someone. I also hear people say it's cold, so you want someone to hold you.
I do think some people can feel invalidated by hearing marriage is hard just because they're like, I want that heart. Because you know what else is hard? Singleness. What's up, y'all? Welcome back to Call Her Holy 2024. I'm Laura Eldridge.
Yeah, I'm Nicoletta Bradley. And y'all, I feel like when you say like, welcome ladies or gentlemen, I'm like, boys listen to this too.
I know, they do.
I was literally on a ski trip a couple weekends ago and people were like, I love your podcast. I was like, you're a man.
A random guy came up to me and Colby in a like ice cream shop and was like, are you Laura? I'm like, yes. Are you, what's your name?
And what
he said. He was like, I've listened to your podcast.
Truly, a lot of guys listen to this podcast. It's not just for women.
Listen, the boys are trying to step up, y'all. So you just need to be encouraged. Okay, real talk. I don't really like it when people say be encouraged.
Is that like a church thing?
It feels really churchy to me. They're like, be encouraged.
I have never said that in my life.
You can't make me just be encouraged.
I honestly don't even hear anyone say that.
Sorry if you say that.
Be encouraged. Yeah. To not say that anymore.
Anyways, y'all, we're sitting in a brand new podcast studio.
Brand new podcast. Literally, when I say that the Lord did every single ounce of this podcast studio, honestly, y'all
through
did
y'all.
Every,
through
honestly,
y'all.
Yeah, every y'all. All of y'all did this.
It's so cool. Like, it's like wild to see how one day you're thinking, it'd be so easy if we just had all these funds, if we just had all this. And God's like, I'm doing something different. I'm rallying a whole squad of people around the country who get to be part of this with you because you didn't have the finances to just do it yourself.
Yep.
And I've been so like brought to tears in so many different instances.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, this is dope. Like,
yeah.
Watching y'all rally up is dope.
No, truly for the girls that, or the guys that donated to this podcast studio, like me and Laura are sitting here today because of y'all. And so I'm just humbled, grateful, and just overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But okay, Laura, we haven't been on the podcast for
months. We have weird energy coursing through our veins
What have you been up to? The people need to know what is happening in Laura's world. You are still a mom. Still married.
Still a mom, still married. If any of those change, feel free to like come check on me. Like,
I would be concerned. But like, what has been going on in your world for the last 2 months? Tell the people what they need to know.
Y'all, I met with a nutritionist the other day.
Okay.
And she's like, tell me about your stress levels. And I'm like, okay, normally I live at a zero. I'm just not a stressed person. I am chill girl to the max. I'm like, everything's fine. Like, it'll work out.
It's true.
I told her, this month I've been at an 8. You know why? I'm designing a podcast studio. And it is so stressful.
No, like, honestly, though, I feel bad. You've been doing all the work. Because it's in her house. And we live an hour apart.
That is the thing. And I, like, have... I feel like, I'm like, no, I want it to be perfect. I want it to be just right. You know what I mean? Do y'all remember the rug saga?
I don't know if you noticed, but I won. I won.
Okay,
the
you
pink
won.
One. The
in
pink
your defense.
One. People also DM me being like, I'm on your team, black sucks.
Oh, that's so funny because so many people DM me like, every room has to have black. The black
absolutely
rug is so classy.
Not. Absolutely not.
Y'all are so funny. Okay, so here's the thing. Nico didn't have a say in the rug. I chose the pink rug. So I feel like I still won.
Yeah, you wanted black in the beginning.
No, I wanted black. So I wanted there to be like, if y'all haven't caught this saga, we've been doing this on social. It's been like,
yes.
Yeah, whatever.
Literally like tit for tat.
As we're trying, like, we've been letting everybody into our pain of, and joy of trying to design this podcast studio. But like I wanted a classy, you know, grounding, modern, black and white looking rug.
And I then, said no.
Y'all, okay, and I listen. Said no. Yeah, she was like, no, and I was still going to do it.
We got She literally didn't listen to me half the time. Yeah, I was like, this is true. A great idea. And Laura's like, yeah, no.
I feel like we worked together, though.
We did, but also and when it's in your house.
And other things, yeah.
And I'm an hour away.
I love it.
I was just like, you do you. Sometimes,
listen, I think why our relationship works is because we're not afraid to be like, no.
But it took us a while to get there.
Yeah,
you're right. We were literally talking about that yesterday of like, we are like a marriage.
Yeah. Truly. Oh my gosh. 100%.
And I'm not married, so I don't really know, but yeah. I'm like, you were the closest thing I have to a husband.
Yeah. You're welcome. I'm prepping you, girl.
You're prepping me for marriage. Literally.
No, I have to tell you guys about this rug though. Cause like I'm telling you, I think I get so stressed out because every decision feels so important. You know what I mean? It feels like it has to be just right. And then I'm choosing between all these different rugs. I've ordered multiple rugs at this point. They're either the wrong size or I mean, so many different things. And then I just get to this desperate place where I cry out to the Lord in the same in the same way that when I was asking for a husband, I was like on my knees being like, God, please help me choose a rug. I was literally like, God, I really need your help. You have to choose the rug. You know,
this is just so
I just
hard.
Got to that place. I was like, it's so hard. Design. All this stuff is so hard for me.
Yeah.
And so I just got, I got super desperate and I was just calling out to the Lord. And I kid you not, that night I'm like midnight scrolling and I find this rug and I know in my spirit, this is it. And I'm like, this is the rug. God said, this is it. This is the rug. I'm telling you, I felt so much peace and I wasn't sure about pink and whatever. And I just was like, order. Like, this is the rug. And
honestly,
I'm like, God, you did
it. It was probably my voice in the back of your head that you thought was the Holy Spirit. And you're like, I think we need to go pink. We need to go pink.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
But speaking of pink, you know what today is?
Valentine's Day.
I like to call it Galentine's Day because you probably have some spicy date tonight. But your girl, I'm hanging out with the ladies. So if you are single, I want you to know, one, you're not alone. Two, we're literally talking about that today.
Yeah.
I'm really
excited.
Yeah,
we're talking about singleness.
We are talking about singleness.
Surprise, surprise.
Shocking.
Yeah.
I mean, what else do
we are
going
to talk about some other things 2024.
Yes.
Don't worry, guys.
Don't worry. But we are going to talk about singleness because, y'all, we get so many DMs from you guys, and especially on my Instagram, being like, you are somebody that's encouraging in this space. Because I will say this, during Christmas and New Year's was probably the saddest I've ever seen some of my friends around singleness.
Yeah.
It was so
It's hard during the holidays. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think you just have this expectation that
even like today.
Yeah. I think that you just like have high hopes for Valentine's Day and holidays to have someone. I also hear people say it's cold, so you want someone to hold you. I'm like, personally, I'm sitting in this podcast studio absolutely freezing because I can't wear a Snuggie for the first time because we're now on video, but we're fine. I'm like, I just need a Snuggie to hold me, honestly, sometimes because I'm so cold all the time. My roommate just moved in. We got a new roommate at my house like a week ago. She walked out this morning in a hot pink Snuggie and I'm like, you are my spirit animal.
Yeah.
And I was like, let me go get my navy one in my room.
Okay, so you keep talking about somebody wanting to hold you and I have to tell this one story, like the most cringe, embarrassing story.
Oh no.
I was in middle school, maybe early high school.
Okay.
And we're on a beach trip and you know, you catch the feelings, all the romance going on. And I text this guy, I was sad about something, I don't know, but I say the words, I just want you to hold me. I accidentally sent it to my mom.
So did she come
so
and
she
hold
comes
you?
In the next day knowing you weren't trying to text that to me, spill it. And I'm like,
See, my mom would think that was kind and tender and she'd probably just come give me a hug.
Oh, my mom was like, I know you didn't text that to me. Like, who,
as
what
middle
guy?
School?
Oh, that was so boy crazy. I was so
I mean, me too,
crazy.
But I definitely didn't have anyone to hold me.
I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't need to be texting guys at the beach. I just want you to hold me. And neither do you guys.
True that. I mean, Valentine's Day or middle school, seventh grade, Laura, we all want to be held at some point in life.
Gosh, we all want to be held. And here, this episode is going to be your top 10 pieces of advice
for the single
when
girls.
When you ain't held.
Yeah, when you ain't
got nobody to hold you, girl.
True that. But I mean, if you've been following on social, me and you and our Call Her Holy page, we've been posting 14 Days of Singleness, aka Hope and Hard Truths for the single girl. And while that is great in really short posts, we want to dive in to giving you hope on Valentine's Day. Because y'all, Valentine's Day does not need to be the worst day of the year. It doesn't need to be, you don't need to be embarrassed about being single on Valentine's Day. Just because you're single today does not mean that you'll be single on the next Valentine's Day. Like I have dated guys on Valentine's Day, and just because I had someone didn't mean that it was the right one, which then made it miserable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I have pain from Valentine's Day. Because I wasn't with the right person. And so want you to hear that loud and clear that if you are single on Valentine's Day, that is not because you are behind. That doesn't mean that God is cruel. Yeah. It often means that he has a better plan than what you can imagine. And so what you're thinking is God abandoning you, God being unkind, I'm alone again. Literally, one of the posts that we did is like, if the Lord can split the Red Sea in a hot second, why can't he do the same thing for your relationship status? Like, yes, I am single today, but I could literally walk out to my car and drive back to Fort Worth after this and run into my husband at a gas station.
Yeah.
I don't know. We just have to forget that the Lord is not not working. He is active and he is for our good and into his glory. Yes. And I just feel like on today, especially, one, we want to give you hope, but also we want to give you hard truths, because I think a lot of times we can just sulk and be depressed. And singleness is not a time to be depressed. It's a time to thrive if you allow it.
What's really cool is a lot of the truths that we wrote down, like we just came up with a list of 10 things. Like here are my top five, your top five best piece of advice for singleness. And they're all hard earned.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Yeah. They're all, we didn't just wake up believing that God is good. Totally. You know what I mean? You wrestle and you're like, God, here's what's up. I actually don't believe that you're good, and you're going to need to prove it to me.
Yeah.
You know, we've gone through the heartache and the tears and fought for those truths and searched the scriptures and been in a place of desperation, sometimes crying out for a rug choice and sometimes crying out for a man to hold you.
When we're cold.
When you're cold and lonely and you got no snuggie because you're on video now. No. I just like, I want y'all to know this isn't like we just woke up and we're like, okay, just trust God. Like that's just not real. Yeah. That's not authentic. These truths were really hard fought for. So we want to, in 30 minutes or so, like give you something to come back to and be like, I'm holding on to these mantras. Like I am staking the ground and these are the things that I'm going to believe no matter what.
Yeah.
Not because there's something that some girl said on YouTube, but because these are biblical truths that can carry me through a really difficult season into the next.
Yeah, it's interesting. I listened to some podcasts recently and it was talking about how suffering is what allows truth to sink in.
Yeah.
And it was just this picture of if you don't go through suffering, you don't refine like fire, which is what scripture says, which then allows you to be confident in who the Lord is.
Yeah.
And so I say that singleness is a great thing because I've been engaged. I've had a heartbreak. I've experienced taking a ring off my finger.
Yeah.
And I can confidently say that at the time I was like, holy crap, God, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But 3 years later, I can say, my gosh, like that was the best thing that's ever happened to me because marriage is hard. I mean, you can attest to that. Yeah. It's not just sunshine and roses where you finally find a guy who likes you and holds you. And then you're like chilling for the rest of your life. Totally. It's work. And you want to make sure that it's the right person. And I just think that every day you're single is an opportunity to be anxious or an opportunity to trust.
100% I do think some people can feel invalidated by hearing marriage is hard just because they're like, I want that hard. Because you know what else is hard? Singleness.
Yeah.
Like singleness is hard because you're longing for something that you don't have. Totally. And the scriptures literally say, Proverbs 13, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Mm-hmm. So it's like this picture of like sick heart. You know what I mean? Like you're longing. Like that is, God laid it out in scripture. Like, it's not necessarily bad for you to feel that pain of longing. Yeah. So anyways, but I think there's something to just recognizing that a lot of people in the heart of singleness are like, I want the heart of marriage.
Yeah.
It is a different heart though, that I think a lot of people, I called my mentor, I don't know, a year into marriage. And I'm like, Lucina, I want out. Like, what do I do? Like, hard. It's so freaking hard. I don't know if I said I want out, but at some point you do. You're just like, oh my gosh, what the heck was I getting into?
This isn't what TikTok and Instagram promises totally. It to be.
100%. And she just looked at me and she didn't say like, yeah. She was like, yeah, I don't know why so many girls want to be married.
Like, wow, and
this is
okay.
This is the lady who, like, I sat in the closet with her crying because no guy's choosing me because I think I'm ugly. You know what I mean? Those kind of things. And she just was in it with me and so patient and so awesome. And she was like, yeah, I don't know why so many girls want to be married.
Well,
but it really is. Like, it's just a different set of challenges.
Yeah.
I do prefer it, so I'm going to be honest. So yeah. I just don't want to invalidate anybody by then thinking like, oh, here's some more girls just telling me like, it's hard, just be fine right now. Like, no, singleness is really hard too. Your challenges just change and there's so many more constraints on your emotions, your time, it's just different.
Yeah, it's interesting because you and I always talk about how it is such a gift that you're a few years ahead of me because I get to see the sunshine and the butterflies and the rainbows and like the rose colored glasses be taken off because I'm like, wow, like I see into your marriage. I see into motherhood and it is hard. I mean, it doesn't mean it's not hard work. Amazing. I can't wait for that day. But I'm sitting here going, wow, I'm so grateful that a lot of my friends are married.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends do have kids. Yeah. So I actually know what I'm getting into, which has allowed me to cherish singleness a lot more. And I see that you have a lot of benefits that I don't.
What you've done is a really good job at seeing that and learning from it. I think a lot of people who are surrounded by only married people feel less than or feel like they turn inward and just get really sad, which I understand. I've done that too. Yeah. You know, everyone's getting engaged. Everyone's moving on. You have to make new single friends and work through all the different capacities of your married friends. Now it's just really weird, but you've done an incredible job of being like, I'm going to learn from this. I'm going to like watch and take notes and let it help me enjoy my current season as well.
Yeah. So honestly, over Christmas that I kind of got to this point where so many of my friends were just like, I just want to be married. Like, that's all I want. Yeah. I want a husband. Yeah. I want somebody to go to bed with at night. And I kind of had this thought where I was like, I mean, yeah, I want that too. But I want to make sure it's the right one.
Yes.
Not just a husband.
Yeah.
Yeah, not just someone.
You want to make sure it's the right one, not just someone.
Yeah. And I feel like, I'm like, we are settling. We're so discontent in our singleness that we're settling for the best option we can find.
Yeah.
When in reality, that's a good option, but it's not the best option.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're signing up for double the amount of time we've already lived with somebody mediocre rather than waiting on God's timing, whether that be a spouse or not. I'm sitting here going, ladies, be married to the best of the best or don't get married at all.
Yeah. And here's where it can get confusing because some girls and guys have just incredibly high standards where they're looking for a unicorn.
But physically,
that's not what we're talking
about. Standards.
Yeah, it's like physically personality. And then you miss out on so much of what God might have for you by like piecemealing, here's exactly what I want.
But I like what you said, I want.
Yeah.
Like that's selfishly motivated. Like, I want tall, dark, and handsome.
Yeah.
And the Lord's like, have you even asked me what I think? Like, we only know what we want, but God knows what we need.
Totally.
And I cling to that because I thought I had what I needed in my all these exes or whatever. But the Lord was like, no, you only had what you wanted, but it wasn't what I had for you.
Yeah. I think we vacillate in between, I have to have all this like perfection.
Yes.
And then God could never give me somebody that I even remotely am attracted to or enjoy.
Yes.
Or like I have to marry somebody I don't even want to be around.
Yes.
And it's just, it's not this extreme. It's not this, like they're both rooted in poor views of God's character. Like God is not all about your happiness in a sense of like, I'm going to give you everything that you want because that's not actually going to fulfill you. You know what I mean? You think that will. You think tall, dark, and handsome with a business degree and 500K a year is going to be what satisfies you. But what about when you're whatever, he just knows so much more than you do. And you're like limiting him to your own
limited
thoughts,
view.
Your own limited view, your own limited desires. And it's like, you need to back up and be like, God, you just see more than I do. You know how I'm going to be in 10 years because I'm going to change. And you know what I'm going to need 10 years from now. Anyways,
Amen.
And then we vacillate between like, okay, God can never give me anyone that I even remotely enjoy. So I just gotta, I'll marry you. And it's like, No, read Song of Solomon. There's passion and joy and love, and you don't just have to pick the random Joe Blow who loves Jesus, but you hate being around him and you think he is annoying. I don't know. So anyways.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay. That's kind of leads us into our first point in a way. It's a little bit different, but it talks about low standards. And we wrote down situationships and low standards will actually take you further from the thing that you want. Wait for the real thing.
Listen, all these people trying to be held are like, to bring it back. I mean, it's real. We all just want to be cuddled. Like,
just love
all
me.
These people who want affection. It's a normal and good and healthy desire. But when you get that outside of God's design, whether it be sex, whether it be pushing physical boundaries, whether it be even just entering into these emotional relationships where it's not, you're not actually dating, but you're acting like it, and you're giving him all the emotional security of a relationship, you don't realize that's taking both of you guys further from what you actually want, because there's something in that felt need of, I don't have somebody to cuddle. I don't have somebody, and I'm not going to go outside of God's design to get that. It's going to push you towards what you want and push him towards what you want. When you are fulfilling that desire in an illegitimate way, it's actually taking you further, because it's like prolonging the opportunity for someone who's actually going to choose you, if that makes sense.
No, I mean, that totally makes sense, because it's literally you're wasting time.
Emotional capacity.
And it's like, okay, let's say you're dating this okay person, or you're lowering your standards just so that you're not lonely. You're missing out on having eyes for somebody better, or somebody else having eyes for you, because they're like, oh, she's with this rando or whatever. And it's just like, y'all, higher your standards, know your worth. And I think that a lot of times it's going to sound really blunt, but when you are in a situationship, that's you basically saying or believing that you don't have enough worth to wait well.
Oh, that's so good.
You know what I'm saying? Because if I'm sitting here going, because I also, like, full transparency, I can feel insecure when I haven't gone on a ton of dates.
Yeah.
I can sit here and go, man, like, what are people thinking about me? Do they think that I'm just undesirable if no one's really asking me out? Mm-hmm. But in reality, I see it now as just a gift that I'm not going on billions of dates with all these random situations. And it's like, man, I hope that if somebody asks me out, they actually mean it.
Yeah.
And that people know my standards are high. Like, I truly believe that maybe that's why people aren't asking me out, because they know that, man, like, she has a high standard of a godly man.
Yeah.
And potentially I'm not there.
Yeah. Which is, that's so much better. Here's the thing that I think, like, we just need to, like, lay a stake in the ground. Every one of you in some kind of situationship, like, today needs to be the day where you're like, I'm done with guys who are not choosing me.
Yes.
I'm just done with guys who are not choosing me. And amen. I don't mean, kind of halfway choosing me, like, AKA hanging out and acting like we're in a relationship without pursuing me. No, I'm done with guys who aren't choosing me. You are worth pursuing. And you being in those situations is because you don't actually know that you're worth pursuing, or you don't think that there are actually godly men who do pursue. That is a lie.
Yes.
And those guys are looking for the girls who are waiting and not settling in friendationships.
Yes. You would rather be single for the next five Valentine's Day than be in situationships for the next Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
It's like, higher your standards. Like, know your freaking worth. Have dignity.
Yeah.
Like, the Lord is so kind. And just because it's not seen right now doesn't mean that it won't be tomorrow. And I love, it's like, trust in what is unseen rather than what is seen.
Yeah.
Like, literally trust in the Lord. He loves you and he is for you. Stop settling.
I love it. We're going to give you a really quick way to just cut it off right now. Like, here's how you cut off your situationship. You text him and say, hey, I need to ask for your forgiveness because I've kind of been engaging in this relationship that's not really going anywhere. Yeah, that sounds a little bit cheesy, so tweak that. But talking this out, I would just say something along the lines of, to respect your future wife and my future husband, I would love it if you don't call or text me anymore.
Honestly, I'd be like, hey, I want to ask for forgiveness for settling for back and forth, when in reality, like, what I desire is a relationship where we're holding each other, just kidding, but, like, honoring each other. thanks for your time, but please don't call or text me.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you so much for your time. Like, I no longer want to be like calling and texting. Like, please don't do
that. Yeah, I don't want this in between.
I've done it before, so it worked out well. I put a lot more thought into it than just right then and like ran it by people, but just do it. We've both done it and it works out well.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like this is a really good one too. So number two is don't rush God's timing. You never know what he is working out in someone else. The wait may not just be for you.
I posted this the other day and people went a little bit crazy because it does kind of give you hope. Like, you don't know if right now it's not just, hey, I'm waiting because I'm not ready. Like, I don't like it when people are like, oh, it's just that you're just not ready. Like, you might be so ready to be married and your husband might be coming to know Jesus right now, like right this very minute. Yeah. I literally walked up to these single guys and shared the gospel. I asked them for y'all. I'm like, are you two
Which
questions?
I was like, for y'all, for me. I was like, Laura be trying to get her followers a date and she hasn't even thought about her podcast host. Like, the
That's
audacity.
So messed up. No, I do. I do thinking about you. Listen, you're in the DFW girlies crew.
Goodness gracious.
All right. Next time I'm going to Chipotle just for you, Nico.
Thank you. Thank
I gotta
you.
Go there. I'm gonna scout out. You know,
wear
which
a shirt
one.
With my face on it and be like, this is my single bestie.
I literally walked Who up to these guys. It? I know. I walked up to these guys and I'm like, this is going to sound really random, but I'm just going to ask it. Are you single and godly? I have this ministry with a bunch of single girls. They're like, no to both. And okay, they're cool. So kind, but I forgot why we were even going there. Anyways, you just never know like what random chick is walking up and sharing the gospel. So I shared the gospel with them, invited them to our young adults ministry.
Come on.
A bunch of messed up people who have found that life is in Jesus.
Yeah.
And, like, anyways, walking out, I'm like, yeah, you don't know if those guys are going to come to know Jesus and then a year from now be asking one of you out. You just, you have no clue what God is doing. So don't rush God's timing. Yeah. It's kind of similar to the settling piece, but like, God is working out pieces that aren't just about you.
Yeah, dude, I was telling someone about this yesterday. I go, what if right now your husband is battling a porn addiction?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It would be unkind of God to bring him into your life today compared to letting him heal over the next year and then bringing y'all together.
Yeah.
What you're sitting here saying is God being cruel is he goes, do you not understand that I'm protecting you?
Yeah.
Do you not understand that what he is going through, it is actually better for you to not meet him right now?
Yeah.
And so that just really humbled me in the same way that it would be really hard if I met my husband right after I called off my engagement.
Yeah.
Like the Lord is kind. And I don't know if you've seen the invisible string theory on TikTok. It's like this whole thing that everyone's blowing up. I posted this about it yesterday and it's this invisible string theory that there's this invisible string that this, how many times you're in the same room with someone, but you don't even see them until like 2 years later. It's been this invisible string that you can't see that's kind of been connecting you throughout the years. But I pushed back on that because I'm like, the Holy Spirit is the invisible string.
Yeah.
No, but it's like, who are we trusting in? God is so intentional in his timing. And I love the word intentional. I've probably said this before on a podcast, but I feel like in the last year, the Lord has whispered over and over and over, I'm intentional in my timing. I'm intentional in my timing. And a lot of times we just dumb it down to like, God's in control. God's sovereign over timing. No. He's intentional in his timing to the point where he's like, this isn't random.
Yeah,
this isn't sporadic. Yeah. This isn't so like, oh man, I guess it could be time. Let's do it. He's like, no, I am withholding for your good, but do you trust my character? And that's the thing is that we don't trust his character. That is the root of everything. If you are discontent in singleness, it's because you don't trust God's character. I will say that every single day of my life. If you trusted that God was kind, that he was good, that he was in control, that he was sovereign, that he loved you, you would not be discontent.
Okay, I'm gonna push back.
Oh gosh.
Listen, I don't think I can argue this biblically.
Okay.
I don't think that all discontentment and singleness comes from not knowing God's character.
Really?
Or not trusting God's character. Because you open up the Bible and see at the very beginning of time God made man, and it wasn't good that he was alone. What did he do? He created a helper fit for him. It literally says woman was made for man. Like, from the very beginning of time, like, woman as a whole was created for man. Feminists, don't come at me. I'm not saying you're all supposed to be admins. I'm not saying, like, you know, you need to sneak peek into my marriage and you'll be like, oh, yeah, she's just not like that. But that's what the Bible says. And so I think there is something to, like, hey, there is a desire there, not for everyone, but it's there, and it can be good. And I think there can be this like discontent that shows, yeah, everything's not perfect here. Like, we're not home in heaven where we have this perfect union with the ultimate bridegroom. Like, does that make sense?
Yes, but then maybe we switch out the word discontent, because when I think of the word discontent, I see girls that are just...
I think you're thinking despair.
Okay, maybe that's right. Despair. Because that's where I'm sitting here going, maybe I can agree with the maybe discontent, but when I think of the word discontent, I'm seeing girls angry, frustrated, walking away from the faith.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting here going, if you're walking away from the faith just because you're not married.
That's
because
your faith was never in God. It was in what God.
But that's because you don't trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
It's character.
Yeah.
And so maybe the word is incorrect of discontent, because I agree with you. Like, we are built, like we are designed for man for woman is better for two is better than one, all the things. Yeah. So maybe it's that the longing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Fight back.
Yeah. No, no. I think those people who are walking away, it's like your faith was never in God. Your faith is in what God could give to you.
Yes.
And then the second that he didn't give it to you, you're out.
Yes.
And that's no faith at all.
And that's what I mean with girls not knowing God's character.
Okay. And so that's where 1 Peter comes into play, where it literally says your faith is proven genuine by fire.
Yes.
Like, we don't know if you're a real Christian until you go through some stuff. You know what I mean? Like, where are you standing when things get hard?
Yep.
But anyways, yeah, I think there's a lot there, but we could do a whole episode on that. We should. Let's move on to the next one. You want to?
Yeah, I do want to read this one verse that I was going back to 1 Peter. It says 1 Peter 5:10. It says, "In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation." And I don't know why, but I loved the word "after you suffered a little."
Yeah.
While it's not sitting here like you're going to suffer for the rest of your life. But in the suffering on earth, he is restoring you. He is supporting you, and he is strengthening you, and he is building you onto a firm foundation. So for the girl that's sitting here going, "Man, I'm still single," even if that's not singleness, if that's something, any other area.
It's a lot of other hard stuff.
Exactly. I want to remind you that in the suffering, while suffering can seem hard, it really does produce restoration.
In character,
In character, and hope, and it strengthens you. So for the girl that's sitting here single on Valentine's Day, I want to remind you that God's doing something in it. He is strengthening you. He is making you better. And we just have to trust his character, though, going back to the character piece.
I think here's like the things that you can trust in his character. Psalm 27, I think it's verse 13 or 18. I can't remember. It's at the end of Psalm 27. It says, "I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living."
Mm.
Here on earth, I believe that I will see your goodness. So if I don't see it yet, I'm holding on to the truth that I'm going to see it. I'm going to see your goodness. And then what you're talking about with restoration, I remember being like so astounded by this when I found it in Isaiah 30 or 31. Basically, it's talking about the restoration of the Israelites after, it was Judah specifically, after they had like strayed. God was waiting to be compassionate towards them. And then when he restored them, the restoration was like sevenfold what before the brokenness, if that makes sense. It was like when God redeems something, it's so much better than before if it was never broken.
Yes.
And he was like, "Even your cattle will have the finest land to eat." Like, your cattle is your provision. Like, that's how you're going to eat and make a livelihood. Even your provision is going to be provided for.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the character of God that we can cling to.
He doesn't just give you mediocre.
Yeah. Like, he's not just holding out on you and, you know, whatever. Like, whatever brokenness you're feeling, your pain, like, there is restoration coming either here or in heaven. Anyways. Gosh,
that's so good. Okay, number three, it says, "You are not completely powerless when it comes to dating an opportunity. God has allowed you the dignity of taking part in his plan. Focus on what you can control and let God take care of the rest." I feel like you got something with this, Laura. Come on.
Yeah, no, I mean, this has been my big spiel that I looked high and low in singleness to try to find something, because all the resources that said there's something you can do about it were all secular resources.
Yeah.
And all the Christian resources were like, trust God, work on your character, like the right things. I'm like, okay. But I know I'm being weird. You know what I mean? Like, straight up, like, I'm not hanging around godly guys. Yep. Like, there are things that are in my control. Yes. So somebody shoot me straight and just tell me what to do, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I started like working on dating resources, because I'm like, the girls need to know what to do, you know?
Okay. So then what are some tips for the girls on Valentine's Day today? Single. Obviously they're not going to go probably to a restaurant where all these couples are tonight and find their boo, but maybe. So what would you tell them?
Okay. Here's what you can do. You need to just stop and say, wait a second. I don't have to sit here hopeless and helpless crying on my couch. I can stop and say, God, thank you for this Valentine's Day. Here's what I'm going to do moving forward. Because I literally said this to myself. I was like, if I'm 30 and single, it's not going to be because I didn't do anything. Some people might push back on this. It's going to be because God wanted it that way. It's not going to be because I stayed at home every Friday and Saturday night with the girls. So I literally texted Colby, not knowing Colby's about to be my husband. This is my little activation mode. I texted Colby and I'm like, hey, let's host a game night. He was a friend. He was safe. I literally, neither of us were thinking like that. I texted him and then I brought all these single guys who were potential suitors over to his house. I just invited them confidently, knowing I might be rejected. Hey, come to this game night. It's a group thing. That night was the night that Colby and I realized, like, wait a second, it's you. And so I went through this whole, if you knew me in that era, you knew I went through this whole like activation thing where it's like, you can activate. So I think as a single girl, what are some things that I can do? Oh, I can rally guys and girls who are potential suitors. Cause you know what else I did? I also invited some of my single girlfriends. Cause I'm like, if I'm not getting hitched, one of y'all is, like, come let's on. Just get everybody in a room. You can host some game nights. You can join a volleyball league. You can go serve somewhere where there are single men.
Like, yes.
You can put yourself around godly guys. You can work on, like, okay, if you had a conversation, I used to do this. I got weird coming into the church, like, not knowing how to act around single guys because it's so different than the bars.
Yeah.
And so you can, I would literally be like, okay, I just need to review what just happened in that conversation. And I need to get as specific as when he asks you a question, ask one back. Because I was getting weird. And I'm like, I would get nervous, nerves would take over. And now all of a sudden this cute guy's like, how are you? And I'm like, good, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's probably not that, but anyway, so you can just like, what are some things that I can do?
Yeah.
Shout out, get my workbook, Reset Your Dating Life is going to help you with all that.
Come on. I mean, I have so many different things I can add, but I also think
be yourself. 100%.
I just think that we incorporate striving so much into dating that we believe that we need to strive in order to be chosen.
Yeah, there is a difference. Like, there is a difference between I'm trying so hard and I'm grasping. Like, there yes. really is a difference. I'm not talking to the girl who's like constantly trying to control stuff. I'm talking to the girl who feels helpless. Like, there's nothing in my power. Yep. I just have to sit here and wait for him to show up.
Yeah. Okay. I actually heard this. This changed my life recently.
Okay.
I was talking to a friend and we were talking through going to parties as singles.
Yeah.
Okay. So we show up to parties. Here's something crazy. We go to parties as singles with our eyes only, oftentimes, on who in this room could be my potential husband.
Yeah.
Okay. I honestly am like, yeah, duh. She goes, that's not how we're supposed to walk into parties.
Yeah, I agree.
We're supposed to walk into parties going, who can I love? Who can I serve?
100%.
And these are brothers in Christ.
Did you hear this from me?
No.
I say this all the time.
Oh, I have never heard you say this.
It's amazing.
Okay, but literally it's this picture of, holy crap, when I walk into a party thinking about what you can do for me, it is the most selfish perspective possible compared to going, I'm going to show up, I'm going to love people, and I hope some guy sees me loving people around me and being joyful and being myself, and then he wants to ask me out. It has rocked my world because so often we are like, well, who's going to the party? Oh, there's no potential suitors. I'm not going. Or you could change the lens of, I'm going to go to a party, be myself, and show up because genuinely I'm just going to love the people there, which will then in turn allow you to be more joyful at the end of the night because it's better to give than receive. I don't know. I'm yes. so fired up by this because I just see this all the time in our culture with singles of like, I'm going to go to the party with what can this guy do for me
yeah.
rather than how can I just be loving them as a brother in Christ. We're missing the point.
Yeah, you get really self-focused and then yes. it makes you weird, I'll be honest. And, it just makes you weird.
And you are literally disappointed after every single party because if your goal is to go to the party to walk away with the spouse and then you don't, you're disappointed every single time yeah. compared to you go to a party to simply love people and show up and serve, you're never disappointed. you will walk out joyful of every single party. But what I'm seeing happen is that so many people are going to events and going to parties with this self-focused lens. Mm-hmm. Of course you're going to be disappointed. I don't know. I was fired.
I love it,
up.
Girl. I love it. Yeah, this Gosh. Is so true. Yeah. You want to like not object. Same thing as like, immediately meeting a person and looking at their ring finger and then jumping down the road of like, here's what our kids could look like. Here's what you're using that person to fill your own emotional fantasy, like your own yes. emotional need. That's objectifying them.
Yes.
It's the same thing guys do sexually and girls do sexually with porn. Like you're objectifying another person. You're using them for a selfish means. Yes. Like anyways.
And so I think the takeaway from that, just to wrap that up, is when you're invited to parties, when you're invited to events, I know it's going to be easy to be like, I wonder who's going. Is my potential spouse? Is it? That's not wrong. But is that your goal to meet someone? Yeah. Let your goal be, I'm going to be myself.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk in confident. Yeah. And I'm going to show up and love and serve the people around me. And you will not walk out disappointed.
I love it. That's so good, Nico. All right. The next one we got. Just because you're single, shout out Nico, doesn't mean you failed, doesn't mean you're behind or that God is unkind. It just means that God's writing a better story than you can come up with on your own.
Dang. I think that is the question that singles ask the most is, what is wrong with me? What did I do wrong? And what do I need to change in order to be chosen married? Like, I think it's just so easy. And I think the enemy comes in and is basically saying there's something wrong with you. And that's the reason that you're single. Mm-hmm. First off, that could be true. Like that could be where it's like, yeah, you are unkind. Mm-hmm. And people see that you're unkind and they don't ask you out. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I think that for me, especially being single at 31, there are definitely moments where I can start to basically try to figure out what do I need to do in order for the situation to change, when it's really helpful to sit back and once again, kind of going back to God's character of like, who is the Lord? Mm-hmm. Who does he say that I am? The Lord is not sitting here going, Nicolette, you're such a failure for not being married. Like, you're so behind.
Yeah.
You should be married right now. He's like, no. Like, I am in control. And I really do cling. I know I say this all the time on the podcast, but Psalm 139, all your days are ordained for you. They're written in his book. Mm-hmm. He has a beautiful story that he's writing. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad story. Mm-hmm. It's not a you're behind story. It's not a late story. It mm-hmm. is literally on time. And so I know for me that I have just seen the kindness of the Lord going, you are writing a better story than I can imagine. And I can see that with me calling off an engagement and launching a nonprofit Noble that I couldn't imagine could happen.
Yeah.
The fact that we're sitting here in this amazing podcast studio is because I called off an engagement.
Yeah.
And that's because he was writing a better story than I could imagine. Yes, when I took off the ring, when I was heartbroken, did that seem like a good story? No.
Yeah.
But man, in his timing, he makes things beautiful.
Yeah, we just don't want the bad parts of the story. Like, we want to skip through the uncomfortable parts when the reality is, like, what movie would you ever go to that was only sunshine and rainbows? You need the suspense. And then that makes the mountain or the breakthrough so incredible because you've been waiting for it. You've been on the edge of your seat. Like, how is this problem going to get solved? And God gets to show himself true. God gets to show himself good, show himself faithful. And then you get to the other side being like, whoa, that's what you were doing. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? I'm so sorry. I had no clue. So I think sit back, eat your popcorn and watch let the drama happen a little bit sometimes. I get comfortable with the uncomfortable because that's where God is making you. He's making you into somebody who is not just going to be a great spouse, but somebody who is looking more like him, which is ultimately this is all about the spouse that we're going to have one day, the bridegroom, Christ in the church, because marriage is just a tiniest reflection of that.
Gosh. Okay. We did a series at my church and it was talking about a revelation. And I had this moment where I was like, wait a second. If we are the bride and Jesus is the groom, right? We're technically all engaged right now. If you think about it.
That's a good point. I like it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because he's already promised, like, hey,
he's already made a promise. I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
And I had this moment where I was like, dang, like, he is a groom that will not break up with us.
I like it.
He's a groom that is not going to reject us. And he's a groom that actually is chasing us down. I don't know why. I just loved that picture of like, man, like, I'm a bride.
Yeah.
Even if I never become a bride on this side of eternity,
That's good.
I am a bride.
That's really good. Because
he's the groom. I don't know. It was just a cool perspective to that.
I love that, Nico. Random. I love that. I have one more thing to say on that whole last note is that I think sometimes our culture, especially the church culture or family culture, can make us feel ashamed if we're single later in life. Even like young 20s, like your grandma's asking like every holiday, like,
I'm like, I'm 22, grandma. Are
you
dating anyone?
I know, totally. And you just feel, it makes you feel less than. You're like, I can't wait for the day when I can be like, yes, I'm dating him. You know what I mean? Or I'm getting married. And I think we have to get really confident in the, that's not my story, but God's not done. Like, we just have to get confident in the, like, you might think less of me, even if you do. You probably don't, but even if you do, I'm okay, because I'd rather what God has for me than your approval.
Yeah.
So anyways. Dang.
That's so good. I think the next one that we've talked a lot about on these podcasts, but do want to touch on it is that if someone only wants to date you for your body or your looks, they are choosing you for a depreciating value. When trials come, which they will, character is what's going to get you through them, not a good body and a pretty face.
Yeah.
And I just think that comes back to just, who are you looking for?
Yeah.
And what are you prioritizing in your own life? And I say this a lot in Noble, are you waking up early to go to the gym and not to read your Bible? And it's just this picture of, what are you thinking is the most important in what you're looking for? And what do you think is the most important in what you think other people are looking for in you?
Yeah.
And character, you can attest to this. I mean, your marriage is awesome, but it's not because you and Colby are a certain weight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not looking at Colby and being like, man, your biceps are the reason that I'm staying.
Dude, we both were so fit. And then I got pregnant and had hyperemesis and was out of my control and gaining 85 pounds. Like, you think you're going to have so much control. It's like, okay, wait till you get pregnant and hit with a sickness where you can't exercise, you know, or even look at grilled chicken. You just don't know, like, you're putting your stakes, you know. If he was a guy who only chose me for my body, he would think I was disgusting. But he loved me, and he thought, you're carrying my child. Like, that's incredible. And we're still working and taking care of ourselves and things like that. But, yeah, you're right. You're so right. It's just fleeting.
Yeah.
And I think here's another space in the Christian culture where we vacillate between, everything is about my looks. If I gain that 5 pounds, I'm not getting married.
Yeah.
And you, like, over-focus on getting in the gym, being beautiful, getting the fillers, getting the Botox, keeping up with everything, just it's so exhausting.
Yeah, it's a hamster wheel.
It's a hamster wheel. Anyways, I think we vacillate between everything is looks, and then there's a whole Christian subculture kind of fighting against that, sitting on the couch eating potato chips.
Yep.
And it's like, well, no, if you're not stewarding the body that God gave you, that's going to show in some ways. Like, sometimes attractiveness can be a byproduct of you just honoring God. Like, as your character grows, as you steward your body, as you, you know, follow Jesus, some of these other things start falling into place. Yeah. Like, you become more light and fun to be around.
Yep.
You become a little bit more attractive because you're not, you know, just neglecting the body that God gave you because you think no one's going to choose you because you're fat, you know?
Dude, I so get that. And I think what's changed it for me, especially, you know, me, like, my background's an eating disorder. My background is this deep-rooted belief that I can still battle at times.
Totally.
Like, man, the fact that I don't look the way I did in high school is the reason I'm still single at 30. Like, I'm the problem. And I totally circle on, like, oh gosh, like, maybe I do need to work out more. And the Lord in his kindness has just reminded me of, hey, your goal is to honor your body. Literally, that's all you can do. Yeah. Honor your body to the best of your ability. And that means working out.
Yeah.
That means enjoying ice cream with friends. That means eating healthy at times. But I just feel like what the Lord has taught me is, like, Nicoletta, one, I'm going to give someone eyes to see you.
Yeah.
And two, your body is truly the least important thing about you. You need to honor it and you need to respect it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to line up with what culture believes is beautiful, because reality is, I know a ton of women that look like supermodels that have the body that so many women are pining after. They're still single. I know women that are 200 pounds that got married last weekend.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If we're sitting here chasing a body as the solution to our singleness, we are going to be disappointed, because even if you get the body, doesn't mean that you're going to get the man.
Yeah.
Because it's ultimately in God's timing. Basically what we said in our last point of, like, he's writing a good story, and your body is not the reason that you're going to have a good story.
That's kind of like, I kind of love that you said that, the word disappointment again, because you used it earlier and it's kind of thematic. Like it's, you're showing where your hope is by what disappoints you.
Yeah.
You're showing, okay, I have put all the stakes in my body to get the guy. And then when I get the body and don't get the guy, I'm disappointed because what I tried failed.
Yeah.
Like, your faith again is not in God. Your faith is in what you can control.
Yeah. And that's so
anyways,
good.
This is some deep stuff. Like, do we still have time to keep going? We've been just like going on so many rabbit trails. How many numbers have we done? Five?
I don't even know. Give me one more good one.
Should we do one more?
Yeah. Give me one more good
Sorry,
one.
Sorry, this ain't 10, y'all. We'll drop them in other episodes.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hit him with this one. There's a huge difference between someone who loves Jesus and goes to church. Just because somebody claims to be a Christian on a dating app doesn't mean they are surrendered to the Lord. Matthew 7:16, you'll know them by the fruit they bear.
Okay, so I went on the dating apps about a year ago and was like kind of had a stint on the dating apps, and everyone said Christian. Truly, I feel like everyone said Christian. And what I'm learning is that a lot of people are Christian.
They say they're Christian.
But I heard a stat recently, and I said that I think it was 60%. I could be totally butchering this. I think it was 60% of people in the U.S. claim to be Christians, but only 5% are actually walking in the Spirit.
Yeah,
it was something crazy like that. Don't quote me. But it was really eye-opening to Christian is a sexy word to say. If you grew up in any sort of religion household, even if you went to Easter one time growing up, Christian's an easy thing to slap on it.
In the Bible Belt, I think.
Yes, especially
in the
Bible Belt.
People listening to this in New York are like, no, you're weird if you're a Christian. You know?
Yes, but I think what's the difference is that there's a difference between someone goes to church and someone that is literally walking in the Spirit and Spirit-led.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that, that can sound really Christianese, is that are they dying to themselves? Are they literally going, I'm not going to do this because Jesus is better?
And I would take it a step backwards,
because
what you're saying is like bearing fruit, but what ultimately it is a lot of people say they're Christians because our family is Christian.
Yes.
You grew up going to church, or you have associated, you're creasters, you go on Christmas and Easter.
Yeah.
Some association with the church, your great grandpa was a pastor. That doesn't make you a Christian.
Yes.
If you believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, and you've said, he's Lord, I'm in, I'm telling my people that's it, like he's it for me, you will be saved. That's what the scriptures say. Yep. Romans 10:9-10. John 5:24. Ephesians 2:8-9. It's not about like you doing all these things that makes you a Christian. It's you're a Christian. And because you have that solid foundation, like you have true salvation, your life is going to look different.
Yeah.
You can still be a kind person and be just like somebody who goes to church.
Yeah.
But where the rubber meets the road is like, but yeah, I'm still going to push your boundaries. You know, like, okay, that's bad fruit.
Yep.
Okay, but I'm still going to smoke weed, even though it's against
the
law.
But I'm still a Christian.
But I'm still a Christian. Okay, that's bad fruit. You know, and there's a difference in maturity and immaturity, so we should do a whole episode.
We really should.
Yeah, there's a difference in like, okay, you need to grow and you're not being discipled, or you're clearly not connected to the local body and being invested in. But yeah, I think you just got to be aware there are a lot of fake Christians out there. And I think you can ask this question like, hey, do you think you're going to go to heaven? You know, how sure are you? And you hear somebody's answer, and if they're not like 100% sure and they say it's because Jesus died, there's something to talk about there, you know? And so anyways.
But even like going back to the verse that you will know them by the fruit that they bear, basically debunking and what that actually means is that, do they have joy? Are they selfless? Are they kind? Are they humble? And it's like, you will know them by, are they giving up things of this world in order to look more like Jesus? Because people that love the Lord are going, I'm not going to do the things that the world tells me to do.
Yeah.
And another thing, this is wild. I heard this recently, that New York Times posted or wrote an article of how religious couples actually have the most satisfying marriage, but not people that are one foot in the church and one foot out.
Yeah.
It was talking about how the people that are committed to a church body, committed to community, and committed to their faith, their marriages are incredible compared to people that just attend church. And those marriages are actually some of the more destructive, because they're the wolf in sheep's clothing. Does that make sense? Because
or they're just like, yeah, the enemy's coming after them because they're like 1 foot out.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was just crazy because it's like, that's the difference between a good marriage and a bad marriage. It's a man that is committed to the Lord, committed yeah. to the church, and committed to their faith. He's going to love you the way that Jesus 100%. Loves you. Compared to this guy who is a Christian, who is going to church every once in a while, claiming to be a Christian, but you don't see any fruit in his life. Totally. You don't want to marry that.
That's a really good point, Nico, because that's what separates the, okay, he has some things to grow in. Like he says jokes at the wrong time or is somewhat sometimes selfish or vain or whatever. Like, okay, if he has godly men who are speaking in and he yes. is abiding like daily in God's word and doing his best to serve and you know what I mean? Like you look at that fruit
yep.
and you don't just discount because he has crap that he needs to work on. You do too, by the way. So yep. do I. So do you.
Amen.
And you look at the trajectory of like if you keep doing what you're doing, like letting these godly men speak in, getting in God's word, where are you going to be? You know, 10 yeah. years from now, you look at that trajectory and you're like, that's what I want. Cause that's so much better than just a man who can put on a show.
Dang. I love that. Okay. Well, we could keep going, but there's so many more, but don't worry. We'll get all of them back on the podcast, but y'all we're back.
We love y'all Come so on. Much.
Happy freaking
you.
Valentine's yeah. Day, Galentine's Day, whatever you want to call it. But we do have some exciting announcements that we want to leave it with.
We sure do. I got to ask you a question.
Okay.
Though.
Oh no.
How do you think our first video went? This is our first, I feel like we were a little bit awkward at first. Like, do we look at the camera? Do we look at each other?
Girl, all we don't I know have is that we on YouTube, baby. And that is here. All that matters.
Woo! We love y'all. Oh, this is so fun. Okay. Anyways. So
we have a website too.
Feel free to give us your feedback if you're like, quit looking at the camera or whatever.
Yes.
Know.
But okay.
We have a website.
We have a website. Ah! And it's so exciting, y'all. www.callerholy.com. Yep. And that is where you can find our Venmo link. We have PayPal set up. Y'all, truly from the bottom of our hearts, thank you for your donations. If you feel led to donate for those who haven't or that you already have and you want to continue what we're doing here, we still need yeah. help to finish up yeah. this podcast studio. We have people that are helping us get on YouTube. And as we're slowly getting this ball rolling, YouTube one is really truly what's helping Caller Holy get into more ears, into more eyes, all the things, but we still need financial support. So follow us on Venmo at Caller Holy, Instagram, and check us out on our website.
We love y'all so, so much, and we're happy to be back. Happy Valentine's Day.
Come on. Bye, y'all.